God bless you. Welcome to Heart of Worship podcast. We thank God for you. Once again, we're back to episode 9. This is going to be our Christmas episode, and we're taking a break after this to the new year. Again, I'm joined to my right, my brother Doogie.
God bless you guys.
To my left, my brother Angelo.
God bless you.
And all the way to my left, brother Kolya.
Man, God bless you guys.
You just came back from New York. Just want to throw that out there.
Today.
So, I know we got a few interesting questions today, and it all evolves around Christmas itself. Some questions, especially the birth of Christ,
yep.
Some key points. And believe me, we're not going to cover all of it because it's going to become more of a Bible study instead of just a conversational podcast. So, Doogie, I'm going to leave the first question up to you.
Okay. So, Angelo, in Luke 2:12, it says, "And this will be the sign to you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling cloths lying in a manger." What is the significance of the swaddling cloths, Angelo?
Amen, amen. Excellent question. And Ochachimos Dugit has a beautiful significance that many of us need to learn, and it'll bless us.
Amen.
The significance right there, Dugit, is... this is the note. Jesus was wrapped in clean linen swaddling cloths in the same way newborn lambs destined for sacrifice in the holy temple Amazing. Were wrapped at birth.
Wow.
My God.
Chaches, because he was the Lamb of God, Dugi.
Mm.
And so the same way Gorala lambs was wrapped, Garasaso, O Jesus.
Chula.
So that is the answer to that.
Wow.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
Beautiful.
Pastor. My question to you is, when was Christ truly born?
Specifically, we don't know the date. We can estimate a season, but to say, oh, this is the exact date, it will be almost contradicting to Scripture. But we have major clues to tell us the at least the season. So the first season part would be, and again, I don't want to make this a sermon, which I'm very passionate about this topic because it's stuff that we knew since we were kids, but then you find out upon reading Scripture that it wasn't exactly the way they taught us. We have an imagery, and I'll let Doogie do the editing part. We have the imagery. First of all, we have the Magi, right, bringing gifts, and then we see a animal stall.
Yeah.
We see baby Jesus in a, you know, in a, I guess you want to say a feeding trough, right?
Mm-hmm.
And that's Christmas.
Mm. Yeah.
But the problem is that we're mixing two different narratives in Scripture, and we combine them in one. So first we get Matthew's account, where the Magi come, no longer in a manger, but rather in a house with a young child. So at that point, I know he's not a newborn baby. And then we want to connect Luke's account, where the shepherds were in the field, and that is the time and place where he was actually born. So if the shepherds were in the field, then we know it's not in a cold season because no shepherd would take out the sheep in the field in the middle of winter.
Very good.
Very
okay.
Good.
So we got to exclude at least some of that. Again, for the audience, I think this is one of those teachings that I would want to do maybe in a different setting and go very specifically. But I know one thing. We have an approximate time. Now, this has to do with the connection with the Magi because... I know I'm going to open a can of worms, but who were the Magi?
Mm.
Where are they coming from? Why is it that these, if I can call them Gentile kings, are coming to honor a Jewish Messiah? That's huge to ask that question.
Should spark our interest right there.
Yeah. So what did they see? Now, we have some clues again. This is all just a scriptural clue base. Why is it that we perceive to understand that the Magi did come essentially from at least Daniel's teaching? Remember, when we look at Daniel's story, Daniel never came back to Jerusalem. He remained there.
Mm.
So what was he teaching and how influential was he to the point to where I can actually tell you in Matthew's account that when King Herod were visited by these Magi, he inquired that with them secretly, when did the star appear? Now, he gets his people together And I'm going to read it as it says. And when King Herod heard this, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and the scribes and the people together to inquire of them, where was the Christ to be born? Now, this is very another specific, not only when and how. And I know I'm going to take probably a large part of the segment, but the Bible also says that King Herod called secretly the wise men, which we call the Magi, to determine from them when the star had appeared. So what it tells me, that from where they came from, they seen a conjunction of a star. Now, I can stay with this a little bit. I'm not going to. But I believe what they actually seen. Now, I thank God for today's technology, because you actually can go trace the dates and actually simulate the night sky, what it would really look like in that time from a Middle Eastern point of view.
Astrology, right?
Right. So, yeah. So I think the software is called Sterling Knight. It's basically giving you some mathematical equation by Kepler, and giving you some mathematics, what would the constellation of the planets look like in the time that Jesus was actually born.
Wow.
And you find this, and there's this teacher, attorney, that comes up with the actual date. And we were looking at the wrong time. Even Josephus was looking at the mathematics in the wrong place. And this guy determines the time that was actually between 2 and 3 BC when Christ was born. That's not the point. The point is that when you look at the conjunction of what the star of Bethlehem has, actually, at the end of it, is actually two planets lined up next to each other. But the naked eye will look like at one star. And it was actually Jupiter, the king planet, and Venus underneath. But by the naked eye, because it was a conjunction 5 miles due east from Jerusalem, and that's exactly where the child was with his mother. Not at the birth, but when the Magi arrived. So what do we truly celebrate in December is the arrival of the Magi, not at the birth according to Luke. Luke's account is explosive, because actually prophecy of Micah is fulfilled when the Magi, not the Magi, but when the shepherds, it says, although, O tower of the flock, the stronghold of the daughter of Zion, unto him shall come the first dominion, and the kingdom shall come to the daughter of Jerusalem. The tower of the clock of the flock is called in Hebrew Magdel Ader. This was a place literally where they would breed and raise sacrificial lambs for sacrifice in the temple.
Amen.
Wow.
Now, catch 22. We know that Jesus was wrapped in what?
Swaddling cloth.
And where did they lay him?
In a manger.
What's the word manger in Greek? Crib.
Amazing.
So Magdala dead was the observable place that when sheep were born,
amazing,
they would observe them to see if they had any blemish or any flaw
for him
to be approved to be a sacrificial animal to take into the temple.
Amazing.
The only difference here, it's not a lamb, but the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world. It was baby Jesus being born. And the shepherds are not just shepherds. Because the Bible says that when the angel appeared to them, they knew exactly where to go. Because they knew Bible prophecy. These were not just shepherds. These were priests. They knew about prophetic prophecy about Messiah's birth. That's the answer in a nutshell without going through the whole study part. I think that's my answer, at least for that part.
Amazing.
Amazing.
Good stuff.
Could I cut in on this?
Of course.
Matthew chapter 2, 11, Penel. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother, Mary. And they bowed down and worshipped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh.
Amazing.
Pastor, I want to look at that gift, myrrh. Hi, what is it exactly? Myrrh is actually a common ingredient in embalming the dead.
Wow,
Angelo.
Ain't that an odd gift to bring to a child, Shabadi? Can you imagine Mary, his mother?
Chuda.
Can you imagine presenting with that gift? Numa Chaches, he was born to die, Aminga. Now, with that, I want to share something, Kola. Dikaska, when there was an ambassador that would visit another country, Dugi, Godot country would present Godot ambassador with gifts.
Yeah.
at isikavenliska a welcome. Numagindima, King Jesus comes to earth from heaven. What did the world have to offer? What could humanity present to the King of Kings? I call that, when I first discovered this, it broke my heart, Chachez. Godot, what we offered him was only to prepare him for his debt for us.
Amazing.
Godot numa te das this. We prepared him de miravo aminga. Chachez, the Lamb of God. And when you look at that, the embalming, something, Pastor.
Amazing. It's amazing. Amazing. And so basically what you're saying, Angelo, is that in the gifts that the Magi presented, in which in reality, I know we got three gifts, but it doesn't mean there were three kings.
Yeah, that's what I was going to ask.
Very good.
Right. I know the typical thing, but because there's three gifts.
Yeah, that's what everybody thinks.
Magi.
Yeah.
Right. And it's very streamlined. And I think me growing up, I think everybody can relate to this. When we were younger, and I think me remembering, as far as I remember, you know, 5, 6 years old, they always created this like little village, and there was the major.
It looks good for Christmas.
It looks great. It looks great for Christmas. It's beautiful. It reminds us of Christmas. But, you know, Scripture doesn't necessarily say, and you can read it in Matthew and read it in Luke, you do not find not one chapter in the verse, at least in the New Testament, that says there were three kings. Now, I'm going to go back to the gifts for a little bit. So gold representing Jesus' kingship, frankincense representing his divinity that was used for worship, because that was an aroma that would burn together
sweet
with
aroma.
His, absolutely. Yeah. And then just exactly what you said right now, Angelo, his death. So his kingship, his divinity, and also his death, all presented specifically at his actual beginning of his ministry.
That's right.
Being a small but a young child. I think I want to read something. I don't think there's any other clear prophecy other than Isaiah chapter 60, verse 6 when it comes to this Old Testament. I know there might be some maybe discussion if it really means that, but they shall bring gold, incense, and they shall proclaim the praises of the Lord. It says they will travel by night, they will cover the land by camels. And it's exactly the region where they come from is exactly what we believe it would have been modern-day Turkey, Old Testament, Babylon, Persia. And that was the region. So I believe all of that is a beautiful, clear connection. Now, I think for the most part, let's not lose grip on the season, I feel. No matter how theological we can get with this or how contextual we can get with this, it's important to celebrate and to remember the season above everything. Because if we just look at, well, a lot of people can actually steer away from this. And I actually had one of the comments, and this is to answer for the most part. Somebody sent me a message, you know, you're not speaking correctly because Jesus was not born in December. I'm not making the month bigger than the Lord. The Bible says that every day is holy unto the Lord. Let's not make only this season to remember his death, his burial, and his resurrection. We do almost the same thing in Easter. We highlight that moment. How about highlight it every single day of our lives?
Amazing.
Yes, this is a podcast. Yes, it's Christmas. We want to reflect at least what the Bible says, but we got to be careful. And I'm sorry, I'm not trying to offend anyone. If you believe in Christ and you believe in the finished work of the cross, I pray that you do make it to church for Christmas. But let's speak the truth. I'm going to say something that people are afraid to say. It can get a perdon on Easter, a perdon on Christmas.
It's the truth.
And without realizing, we enter in this season in a religious mindset. We remember mostly his birth in Christmas and his crucifixion in Easter. And outside of that holiday, a lot of us forget about church.
The stars, yeah.
And that's the truth. And I'm not trying to offend anyone, but this is almost a reminder. Yes, the Bible is true and all these things are clear if we search for it. But I think I'm going to speak for myself. I don't want to just remember and highlight this thing. Oh, we need to get ready. It's Christmas. It's going to be a big service. Devla, imagine if you have to treat every single service like we treat Christmas and how we treat Easter. I believe the expansion of the kingdom would have been a lot different.
Amazing.
Very good point.
Yeah.
Amazing. So, off topic.
Off topic, okay.
Where do we get the dates for Easter, for Resurrection Sunday?
Oh, that one's a different episode. I think I'll be honest with you, Doogie. I think that's one answer that could be answered. I'm gonna tell you why. So the way we look at it this way, actually the clue is given with Pontius Pilate.
Okay.
Because Greek and Roman history actually holds him being the governor over the region. And he ruled approximately 3 to 4 years. So all we have to really look at is they were celebrating what festival? Passover?
Yes.
Okay. So the celebration of Passover fell exactly on Sunday? Sunday weekend anyway. Mm. So it started at what we call the crucifixion, would have been the preparation. Well, so Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, and resurrection on Sunday, right? So Friday, Saturday, and resurrection on Sunday. So how many Passovers in his four-year reign fell on a Sunday?
Wow.
One.
Amazing.
And you can actually get an accurate date when was actually the crucifixion of Jesus Christ.
Yeah. I think out of all the holidays,
that's the most accurate one.
That's the most accurate one.
Yeah. At least in a calendar date.
Yeah.
I have the most random question for you.
Okay.
Chijanas chaches ogis gonna be Angelo. But would you say, Pastor, that us taking this day and taking the time, that he honors that?
Absolutely. And I think maybe that's my point, Angelo.
Okay.
It's the remembering the season should open the doorway to a life in remembering what he did for us.
Yeah.
Because if we only focus in this season and quickly forget it as soon as we leave it, we miss out on the greater idea of this season. Let's speak the truth.
Amen.
Let's speak the truth. I believe I had beautiful encounters when not going to church in a season and making it for Christmas service and making it for Easter service. And God did encounter me there, and he draw me close to himself. I really was that encounter. And I pray that'll be that for many people. But how many of us only just approach it in a religious mindset? I pray that needs to be changed. And whoever's listening, again, I pray that this pierces your heart, because Jesus does love you. And these are the seasons for us to remember that he did come into the world to fulfill scripture and all righteousness. And he did come, even as a baby. We see the scriptural edification that he did come to die for the sins of the world. And that's just, for me, it's amazing. So, remembering the season, I would say from the Star of Bethlehem to the Magi to the swaddling cloths and born in a manger, I think that should change our theory in the way we look at it. Regardless if it was December or if it wasn't, which I believe was closer to March and April, but I'm just saying, or closer to the months of October, because nobody's going to take the sheep outside. So I'm going to leave it at that for the most part. So I guess this concludes probably the shortest. Do you have any other questions?
If you don't mind, gentlemen, I would like to end with one scripture.
Go ahead.
And maybe give an invitation. Guy Amaro Tim, Katiano Foro, we would love to have you to join us for Christmas service.
Amen.
I want to share this to Mintam. Matthew chapter 2, verse 6, Penel. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are not the least among the rulers of Judah. For out of you shall come a ruler who will shepherd my people. Janasko, Jesus was born in Bethlehem. And what's beautiful, Pastor, Jesus said, I am the bread of life. And what's more interesting is Bethlehem actually means house of bread. Chaches, he was the bread that came down from heaven. Aminga.
Amen.
I pray that this season you'll be blessed. I pray that you would, Chaches, remember that he is the reason for the season. And I pray that you would join us for Christmas Eve service. We would love to have you.
Amen.
And let's come together to remember. Sostarabilo, palamindi, de Del Pesco Trail. Amen.
Amen. Beautiful. If you're not in Houston, whatever city, go to your church.
Get to your church. Amen.
Go to your church and celebrate that God is absolutely the greatest gift that
Amen.
He's ever given.
Glory to God.
Amen.
Amen.
God bless you.
God bless you.
God bless you guys.
Amen.